Today's Mishnah in Masechet Taharot is Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. So we've gone over all of the 13 different inyanim of the Nivlas of Tahar. We contrasted yesterday those very same inyanim in a Nivlas of Tamei. And now we move on to associate Dinim of Taira. Because since we had already raised the issue of what the halacha is about different parts of the birds, whether they're mitzaref, we were talking about the beaks and the claws of the bird and so on, there are also things like this that make up the difference between a shemer and a yad and things that are considered to be Roy Lachila, or only Roy Achila, when they're together with other things, and they would also be Nogea, the din of maybe Tumas Eichlin, and nonetheless not be Nogea, the din of the Nevela. So this, when it comes to the Behema, we also have to make some of those distinctions. So this is, of course, the Mishnah that we had in Chulin, the famous, this is the beginning of Perek Ha'or V'Harotav, and we repeat it over here because of the way that it is exactly Nogea, the differences that we just had in the din of the Tumah of the Nivlas Ha'or versus the din of Tumas Eichlin. Same thing is true by a behema. Uba behema, then that word, of course, doesn't appear in Chulin, because in Chulin we're not contrasting it to birds. But uba behema, so then we move on to the quote from the Mishnah in Chulin. Ha'or, v'harotav, v'akipa, v'alal. You'll remember Barnea when that incredible guy who used to speak to angels before every business deal, Mayor Goldberg. So he came like, it's like a guy. It's too much fun to tell over the stories. I won't waste our time. But anyway, he came in and gave a bechina to the guys that were learning Chulin. He starts rattling off the whole parak volta. Incredible. Anyway, so babehema, haor v'harotav. So now the skin of an animal that was shochut. And you've got rotev, which is normally gravy. And then the gravy, of course, gets stuck to the meat and becomes like an addition to the meat. The kippah, that is different kind of spices that get mixed with whatever was exuded by the meat, and it gets to the bottom of the pot and so on. But it sticks also when it's together with the meat. Or halal. Halal is little bits when you do a skinning of the hide, so you can't do exactly on the correct level. So there's little bits of meat that are still on the hide after you pull the hide off. The ha'atzamot, where you have bones, not the bone itself, but the marrow of the bone, which is definitely edible. And the karnayim and the tlafayim. Now, this is similar to the din on the oaf that we were talking about, that in a place we have keratinous things that are connected to the basar, at the place where it's connected and the basar is manufacturing the keratin, it's edible when it's still left together with it. So what this means is the area of a horn, which if cut would bleed, so it's right down next to the head, or the tlafayim, the hooves themselves, again, at the point where they are attached to the legs, and they're still connected. So at that point, they're mitstarfim. So if they're part of the meat, then they would be mitstarif. But legabe, what would they be mitstarif? They would be mitstarif to be considered a foodstuff. So in other words, if you have less than a kibetza, and you had nonetheless a little bit of these things, the karnayim, the tlafayim, or even the skin is still on it. So that would actually make it a shear of kibetza. Why is that? Because it's a shamer. So even skin is a proper shamer. And remember that we just had yesterday that a shamer indeed would be mitzaref. Same thing is true of a bone. The bone that has marrow in it is, of course, a shamer on the marrow. I mean, you can't get to the marrow without breaking the bone. So all of those things are going to be mitzdarif because of the din of shemrin. The other things that we have over here, which is things like the kippah or the alal, those kind of things, those are also even edible if they're together with meat. So they're mitzdarif because of their edibility in those circumstances, not because of the din of shemrin. On their own, they wouldn't bechlau be able to be mitame to mas eichlin because they're not considered to be an eichlin. But the Torah bedavka keeps them out of the part of nevela. Only the actual basar is mitame b'nevela. All of these other things, what's the difference if it's a tach? What's the difference if it's a yad? What's the difference if it's a shemer? Those things have to do with tuma, but they don't have to do with the chefs of what's defined as a nevela, so you don't have the shir of a kezias nevela. And without the kezias of nevela, it's not going to be mitame. So the same way we had the difference between the dinim of the kezias and the beis ablia and the dinim of the oichlin, which was the shir of a kebetza, or we had the chatzi pras in the case of the of tame, which was the din of tumas gvia. We have the difference between the tumas oichlin element of behema versus the tumas nevela element of nevela. We have the same kind of situation. And this is an amazing, amazing halacha, which you can use as a riddle for your kids, grandkids, friends, and hopefully your great-grandkids. Anyway, so here's the question. When does a sheichet of a pig make a difference lahalacha? There's such a thing as shechting a pig? What would that even mean? So yesterday we already touched upon the question of where shechita is nogea, and a person is being shomer the sheva mitzvahs, right? So a goy, I told you this story, of course, you know, this woman that asked whether it was mutter for her to buy in a non-kosher butcher shop, does she have a right to buy meat? My father's atzalut thought she was crazy. You know, what is that supposed to mean? What do you mean? Of course you can't buy in a non-kosher butcher shop. And she says, no, I'm not Jewish. I just want to know whether I can buy in a non-kosher butcher shop, because since the goyim cut up things without shechita, so do I have to be choshesh for Avram? Wow. Okay. So we talked about that yesterday. If it was shechted for a Jew, and it's just something that was kosher, so then we have a klal, anything that is mutter for Ben Yisrael, the Torah does not more machmer on a goy than it's machmer on a Ben Yisrael. So if it's mutter for the Ben Yisrael, it's mutter for the goy, and it would have a din of shochut. But if it's a min tameh, so as we saw yesterday, it won't help to shecht it. And therefore, it would be actually still be considered to be alive as long as it was mefarcheset, as long as it was still moving at some. Right? Now, over here, the question is like this. If you have a case where you have a sheikhet, a regular sheikhet, a Jewish sheikhet, so a goy comes in and asks the Jewish sheikhet, who's also the butcher, to shecht his pig and to give him the meat. So he shechts this behemoth mea for the goy to eat, and the animal is mefarcheset. So it's still being mefarches. What is its halacha? So interestingly enough, the halacha is that it's mekabo tumas eichlin, even though it's not really eichlin, because certainly a Jew is not allowed to eat it, and the goy can't eat it because the shechita didn't turn it into eichlin in terms of Avram and Achai, so nobody should be able to eat it. Av al piken, since it was nishchat by a Yisrael, and it was nishchat in order to be eaten, not by Yisrael, but it was nishchat as food. Shechita for food defines something as food, despite the fact that there's an isser of achila on it for two separate reasons, both for the Jew and for the goy. So here we have a fascinating halacha that, since normally we would say that if a regular shechet shechts, so that takes off its din of Avram and Achai, but that can't apply over here. But if you put the two inyanim together, that the shlita is for the purposes of achila, and it's an act of shlita, you end up with something that's defined as a food. So if either of those things was missing, if the shechet didn't shecht it properly, this pig, so suppose his knife had a pegima in it, it would not be a food, right? Or suppose he shechted it for purposes other than achila, it would also not be a food. You need to have this combination, that it should be a kosher shechita by a kosher shechet, a Jewish shechet, in other words, in order for it to be eaten by the goy. A remarkable halacha of where a kosher shechita actually is important if the nishchat was a pig. Wow. Okay, so we also have the same fascinating halacha where something could be mekabel tumas eichlin, but it wouldn't have a din of an avela, and it would still be Abram and Achaya if it was eaten. So that thing is metame tumas eichlin immediately after the shechita, but it's not going to be metame tumas nevelas until it actually dies. Or, as I mentioned this agav yesterday, if you cut off its head. So if you cut off its head, it's considered to be dead. And therefore, even though it may still be twitching, it's still considered to be dead without a brain. Riba. Now, what does that mean? From all these dinim, what you see is that the Torah is marve the set of oichlin, that are metame tum as oichlin, beyond that which is metame tumat nevela. So we have a much different definition when it comes to the nevela than what we would have for just what's considered to be eichlin. Okay, so this was true in a number of different ways. We had things that were considered to be mitzare for the shir of achila. That was a broader set of things that are called eichlin, like the R and the Reitiv and the Olal and so on and so forth. And we also have an actual case where you can have something that is defined as an Eichlin, and nonetheless, the same thing would not define it as an Avela. Beautiful. So, I mean, there's such sort of creative Mishnayos, you know, to set up the situations in which you could see so many different dinim just within, like, a simple case, and you have to take into consideration all of these different things. Now, we know that, just coming off of Purah, that as opposed Mishnah, I should say, Mishnah Hey. So it has special halacha by Purah that we're not Meina Rishon Sheni Vishlishi by the Purah Schatas, by the Purah Aduma. And that was one of the milos of Purah, and we just had a concept of Tuma. Tuma is always Metame. That is in contradistinction to the din of Tuma all over, where we have a halacha that Tuma is attenuated. Now, there are cases, which we're going to be discussing, there are cases where strangely Tuma does not only not attenuate, but it also increases. That we'll see. This is a special Yezeres Derabbanan. But normally, you go down one level. So you start with aviyavota tuma, avameis. Some things can be metakabel, even to be an avatuma. And then if they're an avatuma and they touch something, it's a rishon, and rishon metame sheni, and sheni can be metame shlishi. If it's truma, it could be metame in the sense of passing truma. And if it's a shlishi as truma, it can actually be metame kodesh in the sense of passing Kremish to make it a Kodesh, to make it, sorry, a Revi. Okay. Now the question is, what we've been talking about until now, is a sense of where we can be Moisif one type of thing to another type of thing in terms of Tumas Eichlin or in terms of Tumas Neveles. What's the din when different levels of Tuma are mixed together? So what happens to the mixture? So let's say you have an ochel that touched an avatuma and it became a rishon. And it is next to a piece of eichlin that touched a rishon. And now they're mixed together. So what would be the din? Mitztarfim ze im ze letame kekal shebishneihem. So even though you don't have a kebetza of either, so you would think, well, if I don't have a kepetza of earthlin that are tummy in a particular way, so then they can't be metame. Not true. There's two different issues here. There's the earthlin, and then there's the extent at which the earthlin are tameim. Not to be confused. So I definitely can mix them together to have a kibetza of Eichlin. Now the question is, what's the level of Tuma of this kibetza of Eichlin? They would be mitstarfim ze imze letame kekal shebishneihem. So it's not as if they're two totally different issues. A Rishain letuma includes the sheni betuma, doesn't it? So you therefore have a something which would be metame as a sheni. So in other words, whatever is the limiting factor, I don't have a kibetza of sheni, of rishon, but I do have a kibetza of sheni because the rishon is at least metame like the sheni, so therefore will always be metame. Kikal shebinam, so let's imagine a case like this. Ketzad. You have a chatzi betza of an ochel rishon and a chatzi betza of an ochel sheni, and now you mix them together. So now the mixture is a sheni, because you do have a kibetza of at least a sheni. And therefore, they would be mitstarfim. Or, if you have a kachatzi betza ochel sheni, the kachatzi betza ochel shlishi. Same thing would be true. You could mix sheni with shlishi, put them together, and now you've got one kibetza of a shlishi. And therefore, it will pasol kadesh. Now, how about in a case where you have each one is a kibetza? So if you have a kibetza ochel risha and a kibetza ochel sheni, shibol olam zeh lezeh, so then you have a kibetza of risha, and obviously the mixture will be metame as the chomer, and therefore it is considered to be a risha, because I don't need the sheni to be mitstarev in order to have the kibetza of a mixture of a risha. Fine. So since I have enough, a kibetza, to be metame, it's metame like the rishon. Now, you come along and you cut the mixture in half. So now you're left only with a chatzi betza of rishon and a chatzi betza of sheni. So what happens when you cut it into two? When you cut it into two, both halves are going to be metame because you had a total of two kibetzim in the total mixture. But now, both of them suddenly are only metame as a sheni, whereas before, they were metame as a rishon. So, how can you magically turn a rishon into a sheni with a knife? Another question for your great-grandchildren. How can you turn a eichel rishon into an eichel sheni with a knife? Wow, that's like a really tough one. Well, here's your answer. You had a mixture of a rishon v'sheni, each of which was a kibetza. You put them together, and now you don't have a full kibetza of rishon in either one. But you do have a kibetza of ochlin, and therefore the mitzvah of kikal shebinam, and the rishon suddenly became a sheni. Cute, huh? Now, if one of these pieces, or another of these pieces, fall on a kikar of truma, so since each piece is a sheni, the truma will now become a shlishi, which means, remember, when something is a shlishi, if truma, it cannot actually be mitami, and therefore we call it pusel, not tummy. So when the truma stops, we call it pusel. If this is the last stage of its being mitami, it's pusel and not tummy. So therefore, if they fall, the sheni, each one is a sheni, and they fall separately on a kikar shel truma, then they will pasul it. But what if they both fall at the same time? If naflu shneihem ke'echad, so now, even though they're not connected, the din is that aso sheni, because since they're at the same time, they are touching the same piece of truma, even if they're not connected to each other. Remember that this was a big shaila that we had as a machlokas in Oyalos, if you recall. So what happens if you have a chatzi kezayis of a maize and a chatzi kezayis of a maize, and are they mitstarev in the same room? in order to be metame, even though they're not in one piece, or you're touching a chatzikazayas and you're in a room with a chatzikazayas, would you be able to be mitzaref those shiurim? So if you hold like the sheet of the chachomim that it is mitzaref, which we had back in Ayalais, so then over here too, even though they're not in the same place, let's say you have a kikar of truma, one of when on one side it's touching one of these kibbutzim, and on the other side it's touching the other of these kibbutzim, these stay kibbutzim nonetheless are considered to be touching at the same time, and therefore they're metame as a sheni, not as a psul of a shlishi. And therefore, if naftu shneim ke'echad, if they were both touching at the same time, then asa'uhu sheni. That point, they make it into a real tumah, it's a sheni l'tumah, and it can make a shlishi. Huh. There's just something very joyous about the way that these mishnayos were. They're just so cute. Anyway, it's been a marvelously exciting Masechet Tahiros, and we should be zoche b'ezrat Hashem tomorrow. And Barnea should have his truma, which is completely tohar, together with a completely tohar Barnea, with our Pora Aduma, all the things we've been learning, all ready to go. Kol tov, sweeties. Thank you.